No short battle for Moshesh to get to the point where his case was actually being heard. In October 2000, Moshesh was issued a citation for sleeping outside, which police said violated Code 647J. On January 18, 2001, he was arrested because his citation had gone to warrant. He decided to petition for a revocation of probation and to challenge the constitutionality of the code. He'd been put on probation, meaning if you don't sleep and violate the law, then you can be released. Civil rights attorney Osha Newman of Community Defense, Inc. said this is a very exciting ruling. Since this law is only applied to homeless people, it means that it can't be used to criminalize them. This law is the state 647J anti-lodging law. He went on to say that if the prosecution appeals the case and the decision is upheld in appeals, then the decision would apply throughout Berkeley, Oakland, and Alameda and could set a precedent for the state. If the decision is appealed, it would also be an opportunity for the defense to argue the constitutionality of the code. In essence, this is kind of a statewide sleeping ban type law, although it's called lodging. Siren said he didn't think the DA would appeal the decision since the judge did not rule that the code was unconstitutional on its face, which would have more resounding consequences. But in effect, it would make it illegal for police to cite any homeless person for violating 647J. According to Siren, there was nothing unusual in its application in Ken's case, and therefore others who are in similar situations will find protection from the ruling in Moshesh's case. Though the judge didn't technically say this in her ruling, Siren said another reason for the judgment was the question of equal protection for homeless people, since no one gets arrested for this. Moshesh's case was originally placed on the consent calendar for cases to be heard on April 17, 2001, but was continued. In response to the postponement, 100 homeless people and advocates stormed the Berkeley City Council, demanding that Berkeley deprioritize enforcing Code 647J. Ken, along with Lisa Gray Garcia of Poor Magazine, led the fight that resulted in the courts deprioritizing the enforcement of 647J, actually the city council. Since this ruling, Siren said he had noticed a dramatic decline in the number of people booked and charged with violating 647J. He was not willing to say if this was a direct cause of the deprioritization decision, but said it could well be. Siren's arguments in Ken's defense included an impassioned statement criticizing Code 647J. Siren argued that the law was vague facially and on application because it was unclear what the term lodging really meant. He asked, did the legislature really mean putting a sleeping bag down for one night was lodging, or did they mean something more permanent? He made the comment that if they did mean one night of resting your body, then the literary giant Jack Kerouac would have found himself in violation of the code on many occasions. He said such a code makes homelessness and poverty a crime. Deputy District Attorney Lance Kubo then made his very professional argument in favor of Code 647J. He claimed that the law had been on the books since 1872 and was not written with the intent of invidiously going after homeless people. He went on to say that the fact that this law was impacting homeless people was incidental. The judge contradicted him strongly on this last point. Kubo continued his defense of Code 647J by saying that if its constitutionality was to be questioned, then it would have to go through the strict process of being challenged either as it was applied or facially. It could not be challenged as applied, he said, because there had to be a conviction first. A facial challenge would rest on examining the test of the statute according to previous or current authority. The judge did not seem swayed by Kubo's arguments and challenged him on several occasions, displaying an obvious interest in seeing that the DA defended his opinions. Unfortunately, the judge in her decision stated that there were other options for prosecuting cases like Ken's. Code 602L, for instance, is a law which states that if a person goes onto property that is clearly marked with a no trespassing sign, then it would constitute a violation. Siren said that the thing to be on the lookout for now would be increased bookings of people under 602L trespassing law in the Berkeley area. The judge's ruling was a great success for Ken and all of his supporters and opens the door for further challenging laws that unfairly target homeless people. What this case shows us is that the challenge was worthy of a decision either way. When asked if he thought he was a visionary, Ken Moshesh replied, "No, this has always been the vision of people who have come to this country, all of whom were homeless. The main point is, his main hope is, that this decision will help other homeless people to live with themselves and their situation to the point where they're able to protest and have expectations." This is a story by Fiona Gao and Ken Moshesh off of Poor News Network, which you can go to at www.poornewsnetwork.org. about a success in the Ken Moshesh case in the Oakland-Berkeley courts around the issue of the statewide anti-lodging law, 647J. The law itself is not found facially unconstitutional, but as applied, cannot be used to penalize homeless people, seems to be the ruling. Here is a subsequent story called Decriminalizing Homelessness by Ken Moshesh himself. On the 4th of July, 2001, the nation went through its usual rituals celebrating its National Independence Day, barbecue picnics, fireworks, baseball, and other holiday activities. We homeless persons also performed our usual holiday rites of looking for replacement services, especially food, since our usual providers often close for the occasion before the nightly search for a place to sleep outside amidst the festivities. An unconfirmed rumor that a meal will be served at People's Park in Berkeley reminds me that I couldn't afford, anyway, because of my stay-away order from all UC property as a result of my arrest for sleeping homelessly outside on campus at night. The rumor also serves to emphasize the possibility of serving more jail time, 45 days for probation violation, for being cited again for sleeping homelessly outside, if my challenge to the 647J lodging law under which I was arrested is denied. We have a brief phone call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert.
Yes.
Hey, I wanted to call in and I wanted to thank David Wisen. I don't know if you noticed it last week.
David Wisen,
Yeah, the last week's Metro.
Yes, he was the man who played for that ad in the Metro about Camp Paradise.
Yeah, he put like a full-page ad in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to publicly, I hope he's listening, to say what a commendable deed I thought that was. It's quite something, I thought.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, Robert, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, David, it was a great ad. I, of course, had my critique of it because I thought it would be nice to mention the sleeping ban, number of homeless people, and I was afraid that because there were so many Green Party people, I guess they weren't involved in putting that ad together, but I'm hoping that on the website, I mean, there may well be, there is more information about the, and will be more information about the actual homeless issue generally here in Santa Cruz in terms of the criminalization of people who sleep, which is, of course, significantly contributed to by Green Party Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, who has not been reprimanded by the Green Party, nor any other Green Party member that I'm aware of. I haven't heard, frankly, and no offense to David, but I haven't heard him walk up to the mic at City Hall and announce that he thinks Mayor Fitzmaurice is violating the Green Party platform. I'd like to see him and every single Green Party member doing that, or at least one or two. Wouldn't it be refreshing? Though I do respect and appreciate David's involvement on the issue, and I respect the fact that the ad was placed. It's about 4 minutes until 8, and we're running out of time here as the next, I won't call him talk show host, appears here, unzipping his doodah, so to speak. He no doubt will have an update.
Well, you certainly want to see my doodah, don't you?
Well, we don't want to talk about that yet. I'll leave that to you to discuss. Uncle Dennis will be coming on with Earth First, and that's a show that's crammed full of information, so I encourage you to stay tuned. If you wish to be in touch on any homeless issues between times, because my next show comes on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, 11 in the morning, goes to 1:30, give a call to 423-HUFF. If you missed any phone numbers, I'll try to give them to you. I'm going out of town tonight and tomorrow, but should be back tomorrow evening. And I'm hopefully the next show will be able to play those segments from the interviews about the tent cities in Portland and in Seattle, which we weren't able to locate and play or even have time to deal with today on Bathrobes Pierre's broadsides here on 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm also hoping to have an update from Wiley Drake, who is the man who got 3 years probation for housing homeless people in his church in Buena Park, California. He is now currently fighting a restraining order in the same city, actually a neighboring city, Fullerton, where he's covering the trial of Ms. Grew, a homeless woman who's got a misdemeanor trial for sleeping down there. I think it may have actually concluded today, but I don't have the update. We had hoped he would call in, but we haven't heard from him. He was broadcasting from the courthouse and also urging jury nullification. So combining Free Radio Santa Cruz and jury nullification, I mean Free Radio, I guess, Fullerton, that's where he's living. And hopefully, maybe we'll take a page from his book and start doing some broadcasting from courts if we can find somebody with a cellular phone who wants to involve themselves in that matter. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight to Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm just about to sign off as soon as I find an appropriate... actually, what I think I'll do is I'll sign off with an interview, giving Uncle Dennis a little time to get together. This is an interview from Man on the Street, who talks about some significant police abuse. He's an African-American Santa Cruzan, and he deserves to be listened to. Tune in again on Saturday, and I mean on Sunday. We'll get back to you at that point and call 423-HUFF if you've got more you want to report in the meantime.
Free radio in Tucson? Is there a Food Not Bombs and a free radio?
Of course, it would always be nice to have the right tape on, but, you know, one can't always do that.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking to
Juba.
And Juba, you're an African-American man.
Yes.
And you experienced an interesting contact with the police.
Mm-hmm. On April 6th of this year, as I jaywalked across Laurel, I was stopped by a police officer on Pacific who grabbed my arm and then later punched me in the back of my head and jumped on top of me.
Yeah, what was his name? Yeah.
I don't remember it right now. I've been in and out of court ever since that happened in April.
What did he charge you with?
They charged me with jaywalking and resisting arrest.
Right.
He told me to stop. He got out of his car and told me to stop. And it was 12:30 at night. I honestly didn't take him seriously because, you know, jaywalking is jaywalking. Everybody's jaywalking right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just seems like I was being singled out.
No.
So what happened was I was crossing Laurel Street heading north on Pacific. No cars were coming but a police car, which stopped at the crosswalk and let me cross the street. Got up to about Sunshine Imports, Salvation Army, that area. He turned the corner onto Pacific and got out of his car and asked, and first he said, "Yo." I turned around and saw the officer putting his baton into his holder.
Mm-hmm.
And got a immediately just this aggressive vibe from him. So I just said basically that I don't respond to yo from a public official and kept walking. And so he said stop, and I said no, I'm not going to stop. And now my goal was to get up to Tampico, where there was a bunch of people milling around outside of the
restaurant
bar. Yeah. And so he comes up behind me and grabs my arm. I told him don't put his hands on me ever again. And so he followed me all the way up to just past Tampico, where that alley is. And while he was following me, he was calling for backup. And then once we passed in front of Tampico, nailed me in the back of my head. And
how did you do that?
Well, I felt the fist. Someone, a friend of mine who said he saw it from across the street, said that he actually, like, draped over me, like, threw his hands over me. I felt a blow to the side of my head and his whole body on top of me. This officer had a ride-along with him, which is a citizen who agrees to, you know, just go out and follow the police. And I find it interesting that an unidentified white male was listed in the
police report.
The police report as like helping the police to hold me down. Yet when witnesses were asking what I was being charged with and why I was being treated so roughly, because I was hogtied, hobbled, and thrown into the back of a paddy wagon.
You're charged with jaywalking.
Yeah, the officers that came intimidated the crowd. It was like 30, 40 people outside.
Mm-hmm.
They two witnesses that they used in their report was one black man who saw the whole thing, who was standing right there in front of Tampico,
mm-hmm.
and one other guy who was across the street at the Blue Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use any of the 40 or so witnesses that were there except for the black man to corroborate their story.
Did you get the names of any of the other witnesses?
Yeah, I yelled at the crowd that had gathered around. Someone went down to the Saturn where I used to work and got some people who then took a list. And the list was eventually lost. So I don't know what's going on with that. But
so if you saw that incident, April 17th, call 423-HUFF. Anyway, you're listening to...